than all other shiurim. Pesach is coming, and I want to take a look at a text which is a very well-known text, and as is the typical situation with a well-known text, we know it so well we have no idea how much we don't know it. Right? And the text is actually a Mishnah in Masechet Psachim in the 10th Perek, a Perek known as Arvei Psachim. One quick intro to Perek Arvei Psachim. We have several chapters throughout the Mishnah which are presented as sort of eyewitness descriptions. In other words, if somebody is watching a ritual take place and they're describing it, we have a whole Masechet like that called Masechet Tamid. But we have, for instance, parts of Masechet Yoma are presented as if somebody's watching the Kohen Gadol do all this stuff. The last chapter of Masechet Bikurim is presented, we studied that years ago here, is presented as an eyewitness watching the Bikurim procession coming up to Yerushalayim. And the last chapter of Psachim, Arvei Psachim, is presented, almost the entire chapter is like a walkthrough of the Seder. And it clearly was composed after the Churban, because in one of the Mishnayot it says, and when there was a Beit HaMikdash, at this point they'd bring the Pesach. So it's a post-Korban Pesach Seder. Now, the first Mishnah says about how everybody has to have four cups. You're not supposed to eat before Seder. The second Mishnah talks about Mehin Kiddush. The first cup comes out, Mehin Kiddush. The third Mishnah, talks about the plate and some of the things that happened at the beginning. And then we get to this. Mazgulo Kosheni. Now, I did two things kind of strange on here. The first thing is that I translated, but I left a lot of words untranslated, because how we translate them is going to make a difference in how we read this. The second thing is that I gave a full translation of everything. I italicized all the Hebrew words, but on the back, I put the same text three times, actually four times, without any translation. But this is all part of what we're going to try to accomplish today. The Mishnah says the following, and I'm going to translate it tentatively out loud. As you notice, the title of the shiur is "It's All in the Parsing" or "No, You Turn." You think about it. The old story about the fellow who gets a ticket for making an illegal U-turn, and he says to the policeman, "I don't understand. What's the problem?" The cop said, "The sign said no U-turn." He says, "What are you talking about? I thought that what it said was, I wanted to go straight, and the sign said no U-turn." Right? That's all how you parse it, right? Guy going 80 miles an hour over Coldwater Canyon got a ticket. He said, "I'm just following the signs at speed. Check my radar." Anyhow, so how we punctuate this and how we parse it is, of course, going to make a critical difference. Now, it's certainly possible, and I would think it's even probable, that if we were present in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Beit Midrash and heard the Tana recite the Mishnah, we know exactly what it meant. Because inflection and pausing and raising your voice as a question, etc., would make it clear what it meant. But since we don't have that, and all we have is a written text, we really have several possible ways to read it. Okay. Mazgulo kos sheni. All right, Bill's acting this out for us. They pour a second cup. V'kan haben shoel aviv. And at this point, the son asks his father. Now, v'im ein dat baben aviv malamdo. If the son doesn't have requisite knowledge or sophistication or whatever you want to call it, the father teaches him. Now, how are you going to read those six words? I'll give you a better question. How are you going to translate the word ma, which I left as ma on here for a reason? How are you going to translate the word ma?
What?
For what?
Why?
Dave, you said why, which is the same as for what. Okay, anything else?
Well, it could be like a Rashi where there's what and then there's a parenthesis of the word that's not here.
What's the word that's not there?
Well, what is nishkana? Is it just mean
different? That we know what it means.
Okay.
The question is, what does ma mean? All right, so you guys leave it open. That's fine. Shabbachol alot anu ochlin chametz umatzah, alayla zeh kulo matzah. Shabbachol alot anu ochlin shar yakot, alayla zeh maror. Shabbachol alot anu ochlin basar tzali shalik umvushal, alayla zeh kulo tzali. Shabbachol alot anu matpilin Pamachat alayla zeshtei piyamim. Now I'm going to show you a few surprising things. What? Yes, and the Rambam even has this question in it, because for hundreds of years after the Churban, people still had the custom of eating only roasted meat. So that's why it was in there. Right? Notice what question or statement or whatever it is not in here. What's missing that you're familiar with? Leaning. There's a good reason for that, because everybody leaned. Leaning is not anything weird. Okay. Well, the fish da'ato shel ben aviv melamdo. The father teaches the son based on the son's knowledge, ability, sophistication, however you want to translate it. Matchil bignut u'mesayim b'shavach. He starts with the disgrace and ends with the praise. V'doresh me'armi oved avi, I'll show you more kol ha'parsha, and he expounds the parsha of armi oved avi. Good. All right, so before going further, I just want to show you something for curiosity, for fun. If you take a look at source 2 on the page, what you see is a picture of the what is considered to be the most reliable manuscript of Mishnah, and that is Ktav Yad Kaufman, which is from Budapest. And here's what the Mishnah looks like. Now, you'll notice a few changes, some of them seemingly ornamental almost, or orthographic, some of them much more meaty. Mazgulo Kos Sheni. Notice how they spell Sheni here.
What year is this Mishnah?
What?
How far back is this printing?
The Ktav Yad. It's not a printing. It's a manuscript.
Okay.
Probably 11th or 12th century, maybe earlier. I don't know. Okay. Mazgulo Kos Sheni. How do they spell Sheni? You see that? Two yods. All right. Now, V'chein. Now, how do we read it? We read V'chan. Here, V'chein HaBen Shoel. And then it says im dat ba ben. Now notice how they spell ben. Bet yod nun. Aviv malamdo. Now notice, this sentence makes no sense. V'chein ben shoel im dat ba ben aviv malamdo. And so on the side, somebody put a gloss. And what did they put in? Ein. Did we see it on the side? Because the way it should be read is im ein dat ba ben aviv malamdo. Okay. Manish tana halayla zemi kol halaylot shebechol halaylot anu. What's the first thing they say? And then notice he writes mitablim. Mitablim, and by the way, Kaufman is, one of the things Kaufman is famous for is that Kaufman has vowels. Mitablim afilu pamachat. Now, anu mitablim afilu pamachat is a strange phrase. And so therefore, what might you suggest goes before the word ein? Before anu? Right? Might be ein anu mitablim afilu pamachat, which is, by the way, I think the way we read it at the Haggadah. Don't we in our Haggadah say we don't dip even once? Right? Halayla zeh shtei piyamim. Notice, what's the first observation / question in this version? Dipping. In the one that we read in the printed Mishnah, it's chametz matzah. Shechol elot anu ochlin chametz matzah, halayla zeh kulo matzah. Shechol elot anu ochlin basar tzali shaluk umuvushal, halayla zeh kulo tzali. Notice what got left out here. There's no maror here. And there's only three observations, right? Or questions, or whatever you want to call it. And lefi da'ato shel laben, avim malamdo, matchil b'gnut u'msayim b'shavach, v'dorshim, notice, not doresh, me'armi over avi ad shehu gomer kol ha'parsha. All right, so there's a few small differences in the spelling, the word ben, the word sheni. You know, it's written with an extra yod, but you'll notice that there's a whole comment or question missing from here. You'll notice that the order is different. And then there's other things like dorshim instead of doresh. All right. Now, turn the page, and on top you will see, and I wrote this one out, another ktav yad, mazgulo kos sheni, v'cheina ben shoel, imein da'at baben aviv malamdo, anu mitablin pamachat halayla zeshtei pyamim. Notice, this one says, we do dip once, right? But tonight we dip twice. And again, maror is left out. These two manuscripts are very similar. And, okay, so I just wanted to point that out to you. But here's the real question I want to ask. That's just really for fun and for curiosity. And if you're interested, there's websites you can look at where you can compare all the different Kitvei Yad. And it's really a lot of fun. But the kishkas I want to point to here are The paragraph, and we're going to work with the printed paragraph the way that it's printed in our Mishnayot, which is the one on top that I left quasi-translated. Right? How would you punctuate this paragraph? Don't turn the page yet. How would you punctuate? I mean, stay on page one. How would you punctuate this paragraph? And you can use quote marks, you can use parentheses, you can use exclamation marks, you can use question marks, and plus the usual period, comma, etc. How would you punctuate it?
Are you talking about the one down here?
No, the one on top.
Oh.
Mazgulo kosheni. V'chana ben shoel aviv. Right? V'im ein dat ba ben aviv melamdo. Manishtot nalad ez mekolot. What would you do with the words v'im ein dat ba ben aviv melamdo? If the son doesn't have requisite knowledge, the father teaches him. What would you do with those?
Parentheses?
I'd put them in parentheses, maybe, right? Say, here's the rule, and parenthetically, if the kid doesn't have, the father has to teach him. Okay, good. So now, Manish Tana Laila Zemikol Eilot. Is that in quotes? Somebody saying that? Is somebody saying that?
What could be a continuation?
That's what he's teaching him.
Okay, good. So maybe what the fun, so which means who's saying Manish Tana?
Kid.
Who is?
The kid.
So
the father's teaching him to say it.
You just said the father's teaching him.
Yeah, so the kid has to say it.
So father's teaching him to say this question. Okay. So I'm gonna put one premise down, which you can certainly challenge. And my premise is that questions have to be real. Meaning,
what?
Questions have to be real. Meaning, if I'm asking a question, it's because there's something I don't understand and I want to know. I'm curious. And a coach question is not a question. I'm just going to put that on as a premise. Well, you could challenge it. But for right now, I want to arguendo use that as a premise. So if the father's coaching the kid, that means who's actually saying Manish Tana? It's father, right? Okay. So then, how would you punctuate Manish Tana Laila Zemikolayot? If the father's saying it. What?
Question mark at the end.
So the father's asking the kid a question.
No,
we've turned things inside out. So let's start with the traditional model. What's the traditional model of understanding? You come up to somebody on the street and you say, Manish Tana, yeah, okay, fine. How many questions are there? What are they going to tell you?
Four.
And then you turn around and say, well, there aren't four questions. Maybe there's five questions. Okay. Right. Or maybe there's one question with four supports to the question. Right? In which case, by the way, who is saying all this material? If it's really four questions or five questions, who's saying all this material from Manish Tana till the end?
Father.
Not if they're questions.
No, I'm saying in terms of...
I'm asking if they're questions. Let's start with that. If there are four questions, who's saying it?
The kid.
If there are questions, the kid is saying it, right? And I'm not, no problem with that, which means now I'm going to say the following. Mazgulo kosheni, v'kan haben shoel aviv. The kid asks a question, which is manishtana, and parenthetically we say, im ein dat ben aviv melamdo, and that's something else that we don't talk about, right? And now what is it the kid asks? The kid asks, manishtana is a mikolot, and then these other four either questions or else four supports to the question. I'll explain what I mean by four supports or three supports. If you see a friend who you see every week, let's say on Wednesday at lunch, and one day they look just really sad. They look down on the dumps. And why do you think they look down on the dumps? First of all, they came in late. Second of all, they come in and they're talking to themselves. Third, and they never do these things. Third of all, they're not smiling. Right? Fourth of all, during the shiur, they're not participating. They always participate. So you come up to them at the end and say, what's wrong? And they look at you kind of funny and say, well, you came in late, and you didn't participate in the shiur, and you were looking down, and you were talking to yourself. Now, those things aren't questions. Those things are symptoms of the question, meaning saying, this is why I'm asking you what's wrong, because I see these things that are different. So you could say, means I'm asking you a question about why tonight's so different. Here's some things I've noticed that make me think it's different.
Right.
Okay. In which case, there's one question. Or you could say there's five questions, and you're asking about each one of these things. Why are we doing this weird thing, that weird thing? Okay, good. In which case, im ein dat ba ben aviv melamdo becomes then just a parenthetic statement that doesn't get answered here. Okay. Please turn the page and see if you could find that punctuation. Look at source 4. See what I did? Mazgulo kos sheni v'kana ben shoel aviv. Parenthetically, main dot b'ben aviv melamdo. And what does the kid ask? Manish to Eliza v'koilol? Question mark. Why? Right? And he asks all these questions, etc. All right. Good. Now.
Where's the end quote?
What? The end quote is after the last Shtei Pamim. I blew it. I left it out.
Okay.
Very good. Good catch. No. Good catch. After Shtei Pamim. Good. The rest of them I actually have covered. Now.
By the way, it's funny that now, this is the sheer questions and you don't have the questions.
What? Right, because you got Baal Peh. So now, what kind of kid is this? Now, by the way, we're talking about the traditional model of understanding Manishtana. Okay? What kind of kid is this?
He's the youngest one at the table.
Just tell me what kind of kid this is. What does he know? What does he not know?
He's learning.
What does he know? Look at the questions. What does he know? What does he not know?
He knows how to ask.
What?
He knows how to ask.
Good. Well, so he's got that competence.
He knows there's a difference.
He knows that something weird is going on. Not only that, if you notice, he knows things that haven't happened yet.
Yeah, well, that's something.
Isn't it weird?
Matzah yet?
He's learned that.
At this
what?
Time.
So he's already learned that we're going to dip a second time. So he already knows the program.
It wasn't from observation.
What?
We haven't eaten the...
We haven't... Right. Exactly. Well, so he only knows it because...
one dipping.
Yeah. What?
One had one dipping.
Yeah, but we haven't had a second. And the whole difference is that there's two. Right? So how does the kid know there's going to be a second dipping that he should say Shtei Pamim? How does the kid know that there's going to be roasted meat? The meat's not out yet. How does he know this stuff? So the answer is that he's well-versed. Right? He's well-versed. If he's well-versed, then what's the problem? There's a problem here. See, we think that any time somebody asks a question, that's great. It is great, but you also got to see, if somebody's asking a question, depending on the nature of the question, there may be something missing. What is problematic with this kid? He's saying, I know all the rituals, I got the whole program in front of me, and I don't know the reason why. Very strange. By the way, that's not so strange because it's in the Torah. Ki yishalcha vincha machar lemor. Ma ha'edot v'achukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Adonai Eloheinu etchem. So Moshe says, when your kid tomorrow asks you, what are all the laws? And you would expect that Moshe would say to the father, you should tell him the laws. Sit down and learn Shulchan Aruch with him. Instead, what does Moshe say to tell the kid? We were slaves and God took us out with a strong arm. Which means the kid asks halachot and you tell him a story. Why? Because what's this kid missing? He doesn't know the basics. He doesn't know the reason we do this. He understands what we do. He doesn't know why we do it. And if he doesn't know why we do it, something is horribly wrong. We got to fix that. So this kid, who we think is great because he's asking all these great questions, is really fundamentally flawed at the core of his education. He knows the whole program. He knows what we're going to do later. He knows on page 79 we're going to dip this and we're going to turn that and we're going to stand up here and open the door there, and he has no clue as to why. All right? That, by the way, reminds us of a certain kid we're going to talk about a little later in the Seder, who we call the Chacham. It's exactly the Chacham. Okay, let's try a different take on this question, on this whole piece. Let's try as follows. A kid turns around and doesn't know the whole program, doesn't know about all the weird stuff happening, but he sees some weird stuff happening. By the way, by this point in the evening, what is he seeing? Let's say that's a kid with minimal long-term memory. Like a lot of little kids, they can only remember today, right? What has he seen in the last 20 minutes? Kiddush. What did Kiddush look like? Didn't look like such a regular Kiddush to me. Everybody's falling over on their left side. Everybody's got a full cup and they're drinking it. They say a few extra brachot, maybe. Certainly on Yakrahaz. It's kind of a weird Kiddush. Okay, but let's say Kiddush is regular. What's the next thing the kid sees?
Falling over the left side, are you talking about now or are you talking about the time of this?
I'm talking about now. But let's say in those days. So that's not so strange. But what's the next thing they'd see? You have a wash.
Without a bracha.
And then? Karpas. I mean, come on, this is getting pretty weird. And then you're playing all these games. And then you're pouring a second cup. By the way, you're pouring a second cup before you've started a meal. That's also pretty weird. And not at night. In the morning, Kiddush Club. No, Kiddush Club at night. Okay, maybe that's an argument against Kiddush Club at night. Yeah, they don't have a... right. Plus, it's not wine. They go out of this stuff. So, what's this kid going to do when he sees all this weird stuff going on? He doesn't know about any program later on that evening. He doesn't have the script in front of him. But what might he say? What might he say? He might say, why are you being so weird? Or in Hebrew, manishtana alai lezo mikol ha'ilot. Right? But now, how would you translate the word ma? So you might translate it how? Like, how are we making tonight different? And then, who suddenly responds? The father. And the father says, shebuchol ha'ilot anochlim chametz matzah alai lezo kolo matzah. Which means, by the way, now the first line belongs to the kid and the rest of it belongs to the father. Please take a look at source. Oh, got renumbered to one. But the middle one on the back page. I underline the father. The kid says, Manishtan Ayalaz Mikol Ayalot, and the father answers all these things that we do. So what kind of question did this kid ask? The first version, the kid asked a complex question which demonstrated he knew all the rituals but was clueless as to the reason. Here, what kind of question does the kid ask?
What else is
different?
What? What else is different?
In other words, all he sees is different stuff. He says, what's so different? Right? A very simple question. Meaning, what's going on? He's just saying, what's so different? What's going on? A very simple question. Okay. Now, let's take a look at what I think is actually the simplest pshat in this Mishnah, but it's very surprising. Go back to the Mishnah on the front. Okay. Mazgulo kos sheni v'kan haben shoel aviv. And again, I'm going to stick to my guns here and say, a question must be a legitimate question. So that means what happens at this point? They pour the second cup and the kid asks. What does the kid ask? What does the kid ask? Whatever's on his mind. The kid asks. How come we had to change the dishes? The kid asks. How come we're having such a huge meal tonight? The kid asks. Why is there that weird plate in the middle of the table? The kid asks whatever the kid asks. And by the way, what does the father do at that point? The father answers. That's Aleph-Bet. Now, what happens if the kid can't formulate a question because he's either not intellectually sophisticated enough or old enough or mature enough to formulate a question? V'im ein dat baben aviv milamdo manishtana alayla zamikol elot. In other words, the whole rest of the Mishnah is the father. How would you read the word ma now? Because remember, there's no fake questions. Might be fake news, no fake questions. So if it's the kid who's saying, if it's the father who's saying, it can't be a question mark. So how are you translating the word ma? So turn to the back and look at the bottom. You see where the parentheses are? Yeah, except he teaches it a little differently. I'll show you. Notice I put exclamation marks. I'll read the Mishnah without the parentheses. Mazgulo kot sheni v'kana ben shoel aviv, matchil bignut u'masayim b'shavach. Right? Meaning, you pour the second cup, the kid asks, the father answers what the father's going to answer, and then the father starts teaching Dora Elmer Yoved Avi. Now, parenthetically, what happens if the kid can't ask a question? What do? We declare, Manishtana, Laila Zemi, Kol HaLeilot. How are you translating Ma? Like Matovu. Wow, tonight is so different. Tonight we don't eat chametz. Tonight we only roast meat. In other words, the kid can't formulate a question. We got to get his interest. He's not ready to have his curiosity piqued because he's not there yet. So what do we do instead? We get all excited. And that excitement hopefully will stir him to pay some attention. Hopefully next year he'll be somebody who can ask a question.
But there may not be any questions.
That's right. That's right. So how would you define the child of the paragraph that's numbered 4 there? The one where the kid is saying all of this stuff because he's familiar with all of the rituals. He just doesn't know the reason for them. What would we call him? I'd call him a chacham. How would you typify the kid who's in the middle paragraph there, who can ask a question like but can't say anything more because he's not familiar with anything else? That's a Tom. And who's the one at the bottom? The only one who's not here is a Rasha. Now, I figured out a way to sneak the Rasha in, but it got way too drushy, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to stay true to this. But I do think that this Mishnah allows for all three approaches to understanding what this paragraph's about, although I think the simplest pshat is the last one. I think the straightest shot is that this is a case where the kid cannot ask anything and is not capable, and the father is exulting in front of him about how what an amazing evening this is and all the weird stuff we're going to do to make it amazing in order to get the kid's interest piqued. One last point about this and about the unbelievable and unparalleled success of the Pesach Seder in our history. How many people do you have at your Seder that you have here?
About 40.
Okay, and how many people do you have at a Shabbos thing? What?
18.
Right. Okay. Why? So one of the reasons is because Pesach is a lot of fun. But there's one thing that everything at the Seder is about. It's about food. Food is common to everybody. All the games we play are around food. Hiding the Afikoman. It's all around food. And food is very successful at being kind of a focal point around the table to get people's interest. But notice also that all of the things that are observed in here are about eating, especially the original ones before Mesubim came in. We're all about the kind of foods that we eat and about the dipping. Okay, so hopefully this gives us a little bit of a new sight into the fear kashas or the fimf kashas or the enkasha or nishkasha. What?